You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Ross Brierley, Paddy Aspel and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's National Hunt action from Taunton and Weatherby, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton. So three meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by none other than Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Good, thank you, Mark. How are you doing?
Yes, not too bad at all. The festival ticking ever closer. We've seen some Grand National trials as well.
It's all going swimmingly. Yeah, it was. There was arguably more focus on the National over the weekend than Cheltenham, which is no bad thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. We enjoyed a good weekend's racing, and we're kind of getting down now to the time where we've just about seen everything that's got to play its hand with regards to the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah.
This may be the last weekend. Of course, we've got good racing coming up from Kempton this weekend. But this probably marks the cutoff, doesn't it,
for
horses that are maybe going under trial to stake their claims for a crack at a race at the festival.
Mm. No surprise that the Monday jury focuses on a bit of the Grand National stuff and some of the Cheltenham stuff as well. We'll move on to that in a moment. I've seen you on here. You haven't been in here for a while, Sean.
No, this is maybe my third or fourth time back in the studio.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back. Good to be back and... yeah, it's not much has changed, but there's a couple of new faces.
Yeah,
since I came back, it's nice to be back in the swing, and hopefully we can I can enjoy another good year here at William Hill.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see if you last a
year.
Yeah,
I know that's maybe been a little bit, maybe looking at things a little bit too brightly there.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the Monday jury.
If this is my last shift, thanks very much, listeners.
I think you'll be all right for a while.
All right, okay.
Who produced the best Grand National trial at the weekend for you?
I think it has to be Silviniaco Conti, Mark. I was really impressed with him. He looked, if not back to his best, certainly back to showing top-class form, and there's every chance now that he could look potentially well treated in the Grand National, isn't there? Off a mark of 163, the blinkers look to revive him. Paul Nicholls' horses are running a little bit better than they were, say, when he ran in the King George around Christmas time. He was definitely the standout horse, although Bishop's Road did nothing wrong at Haydock, proved his stamina, proved that he's got real guts as well in that Grand National trial. The thing that remains to be seen with him, I suppose, Mark, is that he's done it now twice on quite soft ground, having joined Kerry Lee. If he's effective on better ground, he's got to be a big player in a national.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a big if. He's just looked so effective on softish ground. He's by Heron Island, whose progeny tend to enjoy a bit of cut in the ground. So if it were a good ground national, that might worry me with him. But we've seen Silviniaco Conti at his best at that time of year round Aintree. We've seen him winning the Melling Chase and whatnot. So I think he put up a bold show at Ascot and really heightened his Grand National claims.
Yeah, he was one of the main movers in the market over the weekend. He's now a 14-1 shot for the Grand National. He was 25-1 before that race at Ascot. So
yeah, he's second favourite with us at William Hill, isn't he? Behind Many Clouds. Many Clouds 12-1 favourite currently. I think we've got him priced up about right. I wouldn't fancy laying him too heftily. So no, I think 14-1 looks about right. And if like me, you fancy Silviniaco Conti, I would advise taking the 14-1.
Mm. Sticking with the Grand National theme, which Grand National entry takes your fancy following the weights release?
Well, as you heard there, I am a big Silviniaco Conti fan.
Yeah.
So he has to be on the shortlist. Say Bishop's Road, his claims would his claims in the race would be lessened, in my opinion, if the ground were to be dry in April. I suppose Hollywell is a horse who had a little bit of a fall from grace.
He did move significantly in the betting on the publication of the weights.
Yeah.
People think he's well in.
Yeah.
He went from 33s into 20s on the back of that. So.
Yeah. Well, he's got a mark of 153, 10 stone 12 currently. I can see why. He shortened. He's got a bit of back class, and John Joe O'Neill, a master at getting these horses ready and right for these handicaps.
He's
trained a national winner before, and I think he has good claims of doing it again with Hollywell. So he'd go on to the shortlist. And if I were to pick another one, I'd maybe take a flyer with is O'Phelan's Boy, a horse who's had only three runs this season since they come back from injury. He's pulled up in two of those runs, so it might seem a little bit bizarre that I'm tipping him up in a national, but let's not forget, as a novice, he had very high-class form. He won the Reynoldstown Chase, beating Many Clouds off level weight. He won the RSA, beating the likes of Smad Place, Morning Assembly, Bally Casey. He looked to be back to something like his best when slamming Sausalito Sunrise at Newbury in December, then flopped at Cheltenham in January in that race won by Smart Place. But Rebecca Curtis's horse has been very out in and out of form this season, yeah. Mark. I don't think I'm being unfair in saying that. But if he's on a going day and if he's right for the race, he mightn't be too badly in. What's he got? A weight of 11 stone 1.
Okay. Moving on to the third question next, then, regards to the Triumph Hurdle. What do you make of the Triumph Hurdle after the latest twist in the tail? It's a race that's seen horses fancied and then blocked their copybook so far, hasn't it, really?
What do you make to the Triumph Hurdle, Mark? I think one thing I do feel is that we have a below-par bunch of juveniles this year. I don't think there are any great shakes. I don't think there's any potential superstars in amongst them on what we've seen at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Ivanovich Gorbatov is the 3-1 favourite with us, and I think he'll appreciate the better ground, but he's 3-1 for the Triumph Hurdle on the back of running a bit of a stink around Leopardstown.
Yeah.
Okay, myself and everyone else, I think, feels that he needs better ground to be seen to best effect, but you're taking 3-1 about a horse who's only had two runs. He's been slammed in a grade one last time out, so I just think he's a little bit short. So Royal, the second favourite at 8-1, is rock solid, isn't he? He's an improver. Alan King is excellent with these juveniles. So
got a good record in the race as well.
I think at 8-1, he doesn't look a bad price, and I'd be willing to give Fixler Cap another chance. I think that race was very tactical on Saturday at Haydock, and when they just sprinted. They caught him flat-footed, but he was doing his best work again at the finish, and in a truly run Triumph Hurdle where they never hang about, you can see him staying on strongly up the hill.
Yeah, what do you make of the other Island King runner that's relatively prominent in the betting, Gibralfaro, 10-1? He's 2 from 2, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, he's 2 from 2. Having joined them, he was a flat racer in France. Well, his form at Ascot in January now looks good, doesn't it? Having beaten Connor Tabler. Connor Tabler came out and beat Raven Black. Subsequently, and Raven Black won the Kingwell at the weekend. So the form of that race at Ascot looks very good. Gibralfaro and Connor Tabler would have to enter the mix, wouldn't they? It looks a wide-open Triumph Hurdle. We're really waiting for somebody to come and stamp their authority on the juvenile brigade.
Mm. Is different gravy different gravy? What spring campaign would you look to plot him?
He looked good.
What would you look to plot for him, sorry?
He looked good, didn't he? I think connections are going to avoid Cheltenham with him, if what we read in the paper today is anything to go by, favouring a crack at the Liverpool Hurdle at the Grand National meeting, and that might be a pretty wise move. They've of course, I think they won the Liverpool Hurdle last year, didn't they, with Whisper.
Yep.
Whisper reversed the World Hurdle placings with Cole Harden. Different gravy doesn't hold any fancy entries at the festival. He's going to be too high for the handicaps now. So I think a crack at the Liverpool Hurdle seems wise before probably going novice chasing next year. He looks like a horse who has the scope to jump a fence, and of course he's already won a point-to-point.
Yep. Fifth question then, with Fahin absent, who wins the Champion Hurdle and where does the value lie?
Who wins the Champion Hurdle? I think Arctic Fire is very, very solid. I think he's going to be thereabouts, having run such a good race last year. to finish second behind Forheen. He'd probably be my idea of the winner at this stage. I do think the William Mullins horses will still fight it out, despite the absence of Forheen, which is a huge loss to the race. It would be fascinating to see Annie Power finally have her chance against the top two milers as well.
Yeah.
You know, something that punters and racing fans have been wanting to see for a couple of years. There were, you know, strong pleas for her to head for the champion hurdle 2 years ago when they ran her in the world hurdle and she got touched off.
Yep.
She's now going to get a chance, we think, at a crack at the best of the two milers. And she's a fascinating addition to the race, one that we wouldn't have had Forheen still been around.
Yeah. Obviously, with Annie Power, Arctic Fire and Nichols Canyon, the front three in the betting.
Mm-hmm.
If you were Ruby Walsh, which would you pick to ride?
I think I'd pick Arctic Fire.
Would you?
Yeah. I think Arctic Fire will do Annie Power for a little bit of toe. But it's going to be very hard for him to get off Annie Power, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's done very, very little wrong. You know, just Barb being beaten in the world hurdle by more of that. She fell in the mare's hurdle last year with the race at her mercy. Yeah, it would take a brave man to get off her.
Yeah. I suppose the one niggling thing in my mind for Annie Power is, I know it's Willie Mullins and he's a master trainer and everything, but just to have one run where she was 1-20 and she was going to win no matter what, before a championship race, I think even Annie Power could struggle to overcome that.
Against some of the more battle-hardened, race-fit horses like Arctic Fire. I know what you're saying. But at least she's had a run.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have liked her going into the festival at all without a run, would you?
No. Where do you sit whether Victoria Pendleton should ride at Cheltenham?
I don't really know. I think it's, you know, I think you've got to applaud what she's done. And she obviously enjoys the sport as well. It's not just
She said she's gonna if she doesn't run at Cheltenham, she's gonna carry him point to point.
Yes. So it's not you know, just for show. She enjoys riding these horses. So I think credit to her, and you know, I hope she continues to enjoy riding in point to points and whatnot. I think it'll be very difficult for her to ride in a Fox Hunters against some of those top amateurs who are as good as many professional jockeys, it has to be added, the likes of Nina Carberry, Jamie Codd, Derek O'Connor, they would hold their own against professional jockeys.
Yeah.
So look, I think what she's done is great, and you know, she's brought racing to the front pages of the national newspapers on occasions, but whether she's quite experienced enough, I wouldn't be sure.
All right, well, let's leave it there. That's the Monday jury then for another week. We'll move on to Tuesday's racing next, and we'll get Sean's thoughts on four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Tuesday then. We start at Wolverhampton in their 2.55. This one is a Class 5 handicap. It's over a mile and a half a furlong. It's for four-year-olds and older, and we've got a field of 13 to go to post here, Sean. So quite an open start here.
Yeah, a wide-open race. You've got the likes of Moonlight Venture, who won last time out, coming into this. Rockwood has been in excellent form for Karen McClintock as well. But I'm going to side with the Michael Appleby runner here, Mr. Red Clubs, who ran a really good race around Chelmsford last time out, finishing second behind Biff Johnson. That signalled something like a return to form for Mr. Red Clubs, who has become feasibly handicapped off a mark of 70. So I'll go with him to beat the likes of Moonlight Venture, who's been showing his best form of late at Southall. And as I say, the Karen McClintock horse Rockwood, who was a good winner at Wolverhampton last time out in a lower grade.
But for you, you're siding with Mr. Red Clubs.
Yeah, he'll do for me.
All right, Mr. Red Clubs for Sean then in the 2.55 at Wolverhampton. A bit of jumping next from Taunton in the 3.05. This one is a Class 4 Novices Handicap Chase. It's over 2 miles. A field of 6 here, Sean. We've got two last time out winners in Sonny the One and Storming Strumpet. We've got Paul Nichols runner there as well. The Brock again, who's not in bad form, so quite an interesting race.
A good little race, it has to be said. Storming Strumpet won well up at Musselburgh in a novice's hurdle last time out. She's interesting switching to the larger obstacles so quickly, Mark. She spent a little bit of time in the bumpers sphere, then in novice hurdles. Took her a while to break the maiden tag, but she did it last time. Tom George isn't wasting any time in sending her over the larger obstacles. But Sonny the One gets the vote for me here. I was in the studio when he won last time out. He's It's interesting that he's taking such a marked drop in trip, but I don't think the Tizzards will be dropping him so markedly in trip if they didn't feel he'd cope with it fine. He seems to travel quite strongly through his races, and his liking for Taunton is a big plus here. As you say, the Brock again holds claims, but I'm just going to go with Sonny the One.
Sonny the One then, the one for Sean in the 305 at Taunton. The 350 at Wetherby is where we go next. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over a mile and 7 furlongs, 6 of them in the lineup here. And I suppose the logical starting point would be Big Jim, given that he won last time and won fairly easily as well.
Yeah, Big Jim won well, didn't he, round Warwick under this rider, Keelan Woods, for Alex Hales. I think he's the one they're going to have to go some to beat. That was off a mark of 111. The handicaps put him up £9 to 120, so he's able to sneak into this 0-120 still. I think he is going to be pretty hard to beat. Young Palm is an interesting contender. Unfortunately, fell at the first last time out up at air, but providing he's none the worse for that, I think he's handicapped to win races off his current mark of at 101. And Quick Decision has been running really, really well of late. Probably frustratingly, just seems to keep hitting the crossbar, mainly up at air this season. He's posted 3 seconds at air since the turn of the new year. He might be set for minor honours again on this occasion behind Big Jim.
Big Jim then for Sean in the 350, and we finish off in the 425 at Wetherby. This one is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Field of 7 here, Sean. Who would you side with in this one?
Harry Whittington's horse, Zephyros Bleu, is probably the best place to start. He's pretty lightly raced, having just had one run in a bumper. He's run in a couple of novice hurdles, and last time out in a handicap hurdle, he was just touched off a mark of 107. The handicap has put him up £6, but he could be open to further progress. He finds himself in against a pretty exposed bunch of horses here, Mark. So I'll side with Zephyros Bleu. I wouldn't be surprised to see Palm Grey run a better race than he did last time out round Market Raising. I think Wetherby will suit him quite well, but he does look to be arguably a little bit better over the larger obstacles. Pink Gin pulled up last time out at Huntingdon, but that was his first run after a long time off. It could be the case that he bounces back to form, but he's going to need to, and it would take a little bit of a leap of faith to be siding with him. As I said, all roads lead to Zephyros Bleu running a huge race here.
Yeah, he might be up a few pounds, but he's also down in grade here as well. Which he is.
He ran in a Class 3 handicap at Wincanton last time out. Down into a Class 4, a 0-115. His claims are very, very apparent.
Zephyros Bleu then for Sean in the 425. As usual, Sean, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your 4 selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yep, no problem, Mark. In the first of our 4 races, the 255 at Wolverhampton, I'm going to side with Mr. Red Clubs, who ran a really pleasing race last time out round Chelmsford, signalling a return to form for him. And then we head to Taunton for the 305. Sonny the One is stepping down in trip quite markedly, but he really seems to relish this track at Taunton, and I'll side with him to go in again. We then go north up to Wetherby for their 350, a handicap chase. Big Jim won well around Warwick last time out, and I think he can follow that up with another win here. And then it's on to Wetherby for their 425, and Zephyros Bleu ran such a good race on a handicap debut last time out when just touched off. I think he can make amends here for Harry Whittington and Gavin Sheehan.
Superb. Good work, Sean. Good to see you again. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Ross Briley, Paddy Aspel and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Taunton, Wetherby and Wolverhampton, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.